Section 3, World War I. As you read, look for Oklahoma's contributions to the war efforts and vocabulary terms, draft, council of defense, dissenter, pandemic, and armistice. For 40 years, Europe had been in a state of unrest with nations vying for power on the continent and in overseas trade. On July 28, 1914, a Serbian student assassinated Archduke Franz Ferdinand, heir to the throne of Austria-Hungary, which sparked a war. Other European nations were quickly drawn into the conflict. The Central Powers were led by Germany, Austria-Hungary, Turkey, and Bulgaria. The Allied powers included Great Britain, France, Italy, and Russia. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed that the United States would remain neutral. In January 1917, Germany began a U-boat submarine war against all neutral merchant ships trading with Great Britain. Germany hoped to stop the flow of war supplies to the Allies and cripple the British economy before the United States became involved. After President Wilson discovered that Germany was encouraging Mexico to declare war on the United States, he asked Congress on April 6, 1917, to declare war on Germany to make the world safe for democracy. Oklahomans in the War. Congress responded immediately. The Selective Service Act authorized a draft, a compulsory enrollment for military service. Under three draft acts, 435,688 men were registered in Oklahoma and 90,126 served in the armed forces, including 5,000 blacks. The state militia, already on active duty in Mexico, was rushed overseas. The Oklahoma National Guard was called out on July 5th. Of those who served, 1,064 were killed in action, 710 died of disease, 502 were missing in action, and 4,154 were wounded. Nearly 10 million soldiers worldwide died during the conflict, and U.S. deaths totaled 116,516. Camp Doniphan was set up near Fort Sill as a field artillery training base. The two camps became the West Point of the field artillery, training over 60,000 soldiers. Before serving in France, young Harry Truman, who later became President of the United States, was sent to Fort Sill for training and was given the added duty of running the camp canteen. In the closing days of the war, 19 Choctaw helped the American Expeditionary Force, the U.S. troops, win several key battles by talking in code. Messages between the Allies were being intercepted and decoded by the Germans. An officer overheard the Choctaw talking among themselves in their native language, and that became the new code the Allies used. The Choctaw were moved to various company headquarters where they translated radio messages into the Choctaw language. The plan quickly worked, and the Choctaw code talkers received much praise. Council of Defense. In May 1917, states were asked to organize a state council of defense to coordinate publicity, food and fuel conservation, military preparedness, and campaigns for liberty bonds and war-saving stamps. James Monroe Adelotta chaired the Oklahoma Council, and Roberta Campbell Lawson chaired the Oklahoma Woman's Committee of National Defense. In addition to its many duties, the Council organized an Oklahoma Loyalty Bureau, which was charged with locating dissenters, those in disagreement or opposition, and those who were disloyal to the government. About half of Oklahoma's 2 million people signed loyalty cards. Men suspected of being disloyal were sometimes beaten or tarred and feathered, and businesses and houses of suspected disloyal people were painted yellow. Fearful of anything associated with Germany, Oklahoma, and other states banned the speaking and teaching of the German language, and German language newspapers were forced out of business. The names of three Oklahoma towns settled by Germans were changed, from Keel to Loyal, Bismarck to Wright, and Corn with a K to Corn with a C. Not every young man in the United States was eager to fight in the war, and an estimated 3 million refused to register, as opposed to the 24 million who did. Some hoped to get a deferral from service by getting married, and some opposed the war because of their religious beliefs. One group of Oklahomans gained national attention when they resisted the draft in August 1917. Some farmers in the Canadian River Valley refused to be drafted and leave their families. They roamed the countryside, supposedly on their way to a demonstration in Washington. This Green Corn Rebellion took its name from the dissenters' diet on their march. Their efforts were easily halted by the law. The group's association with the Socialist Party turned the public against the Socialists, and by the war's end, the party was finished in Oklahoma. The home front. Farmers at home prospered during the war. They were encouraged to grow as much as they could, and prices were good compared to pre-war days. Wheat was almost $3 a bushel, corn was $2, cotton was 50 cents a pound, and hogs were 25 cents a pound. Farmers grew castor beans, which were processed into oil for airplane engines. Young boys volunteered to harvest crops. Families grew their own victory gardens and endured days of no meat or foods made with wheat, so the food supplies could be used for the war effort. The Miller brothers at the 101 Ranch provided livestock to the government. All the zinc from the smelter in the tri-state district went to the war effort. Ore prices jumped from $40 a ton in 1915 to $135 a ton in 1918. Afton miners supplied lead. Oil prices rose to $2.25 in March 1918 as supplies were shipped to the war zone. It was often said that the Allies floated to victory on a sea of Oklahoma oil. In reality, the Helton Field alone supplied one half of all the oil used by the Allies. Businessmen at home signed on as dollar-a-year men, people who donated their time as civil servants or government officials. With so many men serving in the military, women began working in the factories, stores, and offices. They ran streetcars, drove the first automobile canteens, and managed the Red Cross and Liberty Bond campaigns. Young girls and older women packed bandages and knitted socks, caps, and mufflers. Virtually everyone was involved in the war effort to some extent. Pandemic. While World War I raged in Europe, a silent killer was making its presence known worldwide. The debate still continues on the origin of the deadly outbreak that we now know as the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic. A pandemic is something that occurs over a wide geographic area, in this case, the world. Possibly, troop movement in the war aided the fast-moving influenza, which erupted in pockets around the globe. Before the year was over, 675,000 Americans and somewhere between 20 and 40 million people worldwide had died from the disease. In Oklahoma, an estimated 7,000 people died, and at least 125,000 people were infected by the deadly virus. Churches, schools, and public gatherings were closed. Some communities banned funerals. Others limited funeral attendance and time. The disease disappeared as mysteriously as it had appeared, but it changed families forever. World War I and the flu pandemic ended at about the same time. On November 11, 1918, the Germany army surrendered and an armistice, a temporary stop to the fighting, was signed. The Treaty of Versailles, a city in France, was signed on June 28, 1919, which formally ended the war. The efforts everyone made during the war affected American attitudes. In 1919, national prohibition went into effect, the 18th Amendment, and in 1920, women received the right to vote, the 19th Amendment. In 1919, Native American veterans, if not already so designated, were given U.S. citizenship. For Indians who had not received citizenship status by military service, allotment, or special treaty, the Citizenship Act of 1924 granted citizenship to all Native Americans born in the United States. It's your turn. Number one, what led President Wilson to declare war on Germany in 1917? Number two, how were the Allies able to get messages past German code breakers? The following is a summary of Chapter 13. Robert L. Owen and Thomas P. Gore were appointed as the first U.S. Senators from Oklahoma. The progressive movement set the tone for the first legislature, but racial overtones also defined the first legislature. Colleges, both public and private, were established in the state. By 1907, the Democratic Party took control of the state, and the Socialist Party made its appearance in the state. African Americans' right to vote was limited by the Grandfather Clause, part of the Jim Crow laws. Although the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Oklahoma's efforts to limit black suffrage, Governor Robert L. Williams advocated other methods to limit the African American vote. Kate Barnard became the first woman in the nation to be elected to a state position, Commissioner of Charities and Corrections. She worked tirelessly for prison and orphanage reforms. The capital of Oklahoma became Oklahoma City in 1910. The state capitol was completed in 1917 without a dome because of a wartime steel shortage. The dome was finally added in 2002. The Oklahoma Department of Highways was established in 1911. With the drilling of the first commercial oil well in Bartlesville in 1897, Oklahoma's black gold industry began to flourish. Just as people had rushed to the state for land, now people rushed to the state for oil riches. The growing importance of the automobile led to the need for more and better roads and highways. Oklahomans responded to the demands of World War I by registering for the draft and through service in the state militia and Oklahoma National Guard. Some Oklahomans resisted the draft, participating in the Green Corn Rebellion. Hundreds of Oklahomans died from the 1918 Spanish pandemic, which was a worldwide silent killer.